Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Talk about the weather forecast with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. And hear from Daryl Good that, of course, as maybe you already know, if you have corn in the bin, you're in the driver's seat, but that which is in the ground is a completely different story. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check out the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures in the July soft red winter wheat were up 4 cents today at $6.60. September at $6.63, up 3. And December futures at $6.74 3/4, up 4 1/4 on the afternoon. From the hard red July, $6.91 1/4, up 14 3/4. Corn pit for the day, $6.91 3/4, up 7. September at $5.33 1/4, 7.5 higher. And December at $5.50, up 9 1/4. March futures, $5.12 1/4, up 8 3/4. And the bank corn at $5.19 3/4, 8.5 higher. July contract there at $5.26 3/4, up 8 1/4. Soybeans for the day, $16.09 1/4, up 21 1/4. August at $14.55 1/2, up 23 1/2. And September futures, $13.25, 24 cents higher. November contract, $12.52 1/4, up 24. And the January futures at $12.57 1/2, up 23 3/4. Next year's March at $12.58 3/4, up 23 1/4. Bean meal futures at $5.11 10, that's up 22. And bean oil at $47.01, down 22 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at $126.17 1/2, 7.5 cents lower. The August up 12.5 at $122.07 1/2. August feeders at $151.60, down 20. September at $154.15, 2.5 lower. And lean hogs finished the July contract at $101.12 1/2. That's down $1.22 1/2. August at $95.55, $2.20 lower. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media, and this is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, trading the August at $103.03 a barrel, down 19 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $287.08, that's a penny and 8 cents lower. Ethanol at $2.42 2/10, up 3 cents on the day, and the spread between the two now at 45 6/10 cents, and it's about 4 8/10 cents narrower than it was yesterday, or actually on Friday. August natural gas at $3.73 2/10, 11.5 cents higher, and diesel fuel at $2.97 1/2, down a penny and 4 cents. Gold futures finished at $1,234.90 an ounce, up $22.20, and the dollar at 84.19 is up 0.96 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms this afternoon. Mostly cloudy, high near 87 degrees on a southwest wind at 11 to 15, gusting all the way to 22 this afternoon. And then for this evening, we'll see a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 72 on a south wind at 7 to 9. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high near 90. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and 74 degrees, 50% chance of rainfall on Wednesday, mostly cloudy during the day, a high of 86, and then Wednesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 65. Sunny on Thursday with a high of 81. Thursday night, mostly clear and a low of 60. Friday, sunny skies and a high of 81. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us from Bates Commodities in Normal,
Todd
Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to
Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. How are you doing today? Tell me about you saw in the futures market for the afternoon.
Well, a little bit of bullish surprise going home there late last week. Kind of a negative tone was set, and the market was able to hold in there and overnight and sort of turn the trend upward throughout the day session here. Looking at the chart, we had some daily price reversals to the upside, made a new low and closed higher. In fact, November beans had an outside up, made a new low below the previous day's low and was able to move higher above last Friday's highs and close up there, kind of a technical positive type of formation. Momentum indicators were kind of down at the lower end of the range, especially on corn, and so we've got the momentum kind of turned up here. See if we can't technically see some follow-through buying here and kind of build on the turn. Fundamentally, had a little help. Sold 120,000 tons of corn to Mexico. Made several sales in the beans, one to China, one to unknown. And confirmation that wheat was buying, China was buying wheat, that is, sort of fundamentally helped support the market too. So we had both sides of the equation kind of working together here to give us some higher closes. Now the key is to kind of follow through and see if the longer term forecast kind of holds true on the fear that this heat from the west could move over in our area as we start to move into the pollination time here in about 2 weeks here, Todd.
Any good reason to believe that soybeans will continue what would be considered a turnaround and then back as an uptrend on just this one little daily outside market up?
Well, we've been a little bit more positive on the beans from the standpoint. Prior today, we're looking at the supply-demand balance sheet. The numbers in general really didn't come in and really build a much bigger demand picture for beans. And what I mean by that is on the corn, they built quite a bit of increase in demand, whereas the bean demands virtually, it had some increase, but not in percentage-wise or bushel-wise compared to the corn. So therefore, the bean supply-demand balance sheet might be a little bit more sensitive to the production number. Then also, too, on the bean side of the ledger, even though the good to excellent category is expected to improve 1% to 2%, and ideas eventually corn and beans both can get up in the 70% good to excellent category over time, there's a lot of beans that's really suffered from the weather. A lot of smaller beans, a lot of beans in the north, just going into the ground that normally don't go in the ground this time. And the idea is we could lose maybe, a little bit of this double crop acreage potential. So beans right now are sort of going to be the long side of the spread as we see Asia being a buyer and also maybe a little production concern on the new crop side of the equation gives beans an opportunity maybe to hold in there a little bit better than the corn and the wheat.
And the corn is a different sort of picture. The crop looks a little better, I suppose, although, as you indicated, worried about heat maybe coming in through the pollination period, and most of it may pollinate fourth and fifth week of July?
Towards the end of July here, right. That's sort of the time window. It kind of all went to the ground at the same time, and the idea that we could see that a window in there where, weather's going to be real critical versus previous years where, the crop's a little bit more spread out for say. But that's going to be sort of the key here as we come in. We'll go into late this week, first part of next week. It becomes a little bit more of a weather market as these weather models put out the forecast, and we'll see if it starts to hold true.
So we have what, a potential range for corn at this point up to the top side at around, I would guess, 575, 73 for the December contract. There are, what, four different tops up there in the last, well, since March. So that's is that what you see as the top side potential for this market, at least at this point? And how likely would that be? Because we're down on the bottom end of the range now, which is brand new territory.
The upper end at 570 is going to be awful hard to get up there unless we do run into some weather concerns later on here in the month. Sort of step one is get back to where we broke out to the downside, back to this 510, 515 area. That's sort of going to be the key in here. That's kind of step one. Then step two would be to regain at least half of what we've given up here. We've broke about 80, 90 cents off the high. So if you add 40 cents there, it puts back to this 545 area or so. So, but in order to get back to those levels, we're going to have to see, you know, some real weather concerns, see the reversal in the trend in the good to excellent category, and maybe even see actually China come in and you know, be a buyer of a little bit more corn than what they have been here over the last month or so.
Different story for the old crop corn?
Well, yeah, the same. Well, same story we've been seeing. That's going to stop. Well, the end of the trading will be here on end of the week here on Friday,
right?
And so we'll see who wants to do what. I don't think it's a game that the average guy wants to be in there, as far as the futures go. As of right now, you know, we've given up quite a bit on the basis in general, but overall basis remains relatively strong. It's going to be more of a search around, see what type of bid you can receive. You know, if you're just comfortable selling at your local elevator, it's going to be probably kind of tough to get a good bid. You got to be mobile and be looking, because there's going to be some guys out there who need some inventory before new crop comes along. So being able to find those bids and being able to be mobile to deliver those bids will be your best advantage on old crop as we move into the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
All right, take care, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming. Dave Dickey, your director of ag programming, actually will be here in just a moment. His programs are up there at WILL2, does the opening and midday markets at willag.org, but he'll do the news for us in just about 25 seconds or so.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
A group of environmentalists and organic produce growers has decided to challenge a recent decision by the Environmental Protection Agency to increase the maximum residue tolerances for the herbicide glyphosate. In a letter to EPA, the coalition says it would be improper to raise the tolerances for glyphosate before EPA completes its ongoing registration review of the widely used herbicide. The final rule, which went into effect May 1st, established new tolerances for glyphosate residues on several crops, including citrus fruits and fruiting vegetables. Congress returns today from its Independence Day recess. This week, the House is scheduled to consider a $30.4 billion fiscal year 2014 energy and water appropriations bill that would effectively cut Energy Department spending on renewables and energy efficiency in half. The bill also would provide nearly $4.9 billion for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to carry out a wide range of waterway repair and improvement projects. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that economic growth in the U.S. and Japan is set to pick up in the months ahead, while Russia and Brazil appear set for slowdowns. among other large developing economies, China is set to grow at around its long-term trend rate. The Paris-based think tank says that the leading economic indicator for the U.S. was unchanged at 101.0, while the Eurozone rose to 100.3 from 100.1 in April. A rating above 100 indicates the potential for trend growth in a nation's economy. Consumer prices in Greece fell in June from a year earlier for a fourth straight month. Consumer prices were 0.4% lower in June of 2013 compared with the corresponding month in 2012 and 0.2% lower compared with May this year. A preliminary estimate of inflation across the Eurozone last week showed consumer prices were 1.6% higher in June than a year earlier, up from a 1.4% increase in May. And the cost of United Kingdom farmland rose almost 2% in the second quarter in 2013 to set a new all-time record. The average cost of an acre of agricultural land across the UK was $9,570 by the end of June. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Next week, I'll be out of the office, but Commodity Week will air, and so will the Closing Market Report. I'll be here at least on tape, Memorex, if you prefer, as I'll be traveling with the National Soybean Research Lab on their WISH, or World Initiative for Soybeans and Human Health Initiative. We'll take a look at how soybeans are being used in food nutrition programming in the country of Haiti. Should be a great trip, and you'll hear all about it, I'm sure, as I come back and try to produce some programming there for you, although I'm going to pre-produce the Closing Market Report ahead of time, so you won't have an opportunity next week during the program to hear it. There will be fresh analysis each and every day next week, as guys like, well, Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson, along with Dan Zwicker, Mike Zuzlow, and Jackie Vakes, have all agreed that they'll provide an updated set of analysis and numbers for you during the Closing Market Report at the normal time. So you'll hear that and some of the special programming I'm pre-producing for you right now, along with the folks here in the College of ACES. Should be some great shows. Will give me an opportunity to go to Haiti, and then I'll report back to you, I promise. Now, up next, let's hear from Darrell Good. As you already know, if you've got corn in the bin, you're probably in the driver's seat as it relates to price. But that corn in the ground, that one is a completely different story. USDA is reporting the nation has fewer bushels of corn on hand than in any other time over the last 16 years. The June 1 stocks estimate for corn, says ag economist Darrell Good, implies about 920 million bushels of grain was fed to livestock in March, April, and May. That's 60 million bushels more than last year, and more importantly, given the increased number of animals now on feed compared to the summer of 2012, it also implies increased corn feeding for June, July, and August, says the Illinois number cruncher.
The corn stocks number at face value implies that the feed and residual use of corn is progressing a bit more rapidly than the USDA's projection of 4.4 billion bushels for the year. I think to be limited to 4.4 billion corn feeding in the last quarter of the year, summer quarter, would have to be about equal to that of last year. And we know that last year, old crop corn feeding was down fairly sharply because of feeding of new crop corn. That doesn't appear likely to happen this year in the Midwest. So this suggests that, again, just at face value and recognizing there's a fair amount of noise in the quarterly numbers, that USDA's projection of feed use may still be about 100 million bushels too low.
If he's right, then USDA supply figures will need to be adjusted. That would mean a substantial drop in the old crop ending stocks number, down sharply, says Darrell Good, from the June estimate of 769 million bushels.
Yeah, you know, 650, somewhere in that neighborhood. They may not go quite that low based on the judgment that they don't think that stocks can actually go that low with a late harvested crop. So it'll be interesting to see whatever they believe minimum pipeline stocks are. I think that's what the number will be in the July report.
The July World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates are due the 11th of the month. It should support the price of old crop corn. There is, however, considerably more uncertainty about new crop production and price prospects. Good says he expects the number of acres planted to corn to drop over the coming months as USDA adjusts for the lateness of the season. But he says the market should now be concerned with yield rather than acreage. Based on current crop condition ratings and near-term weather forecast, he thinks prospects for yields exceed current market expectations for corn. If weekly condition ratings remain high, Good says new crop corn prices are expected to remain under pressure. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the closing market report. It's a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons is here to take a look at the cash grain market with us. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I suppose it doesn't really matter so much what USDA thinks will be in the bin on September 1st, but it might matter what's in the bin on October 1st. It's that last month that's not it. The first month of the next marketing year that looks like it could be a real problem.
Yeah, we've gone through this in the past, maybe not to this extent, but when we try to transition from a tight old crop supply to potentially big burdensome new crop supply, the question of when exactly do we switch over, and you know, people are going to bid up until they think they've got enough, and then all of a sudden you see basis levels drop. But I kind of agree. I think for the next 3 months or so, it's going to be very tight to find old crop corn or old crop beans.
Well, the difference between the July and the September bids on the futures is pretty sharp. Do you think that September needs to jump up and look more like an old crop month?
Well, the cash price needs to jump up. Now, maybe that'll be accomplished by basis instead of the futures, you know, that because, you know, if somebody just buys September futures, they actually don't get delivery till the tail end of September, and then, you know, along the river. So by the time they get them to where they need them, it may be better to get, you know, just cash supplies in their own backyard. So buying the September and taking delivery may not be the answer to get actual cash grain.
That means the basis will have to do all the heavy lifting for the next 3 months or so. Has it started that process? I know it's been added for a while, but is there more to come?
I think so, yeah. We just don't see the movement with the board sell-off over the last 2 weeks. We just don't see farmers excited about letting loose of that last jag of old crop corn and soybeans. So I think the basis is going to have to continue to get better, or just time's going to have to go by. Maybe in another month and a half, if the weather still cooperates and the new crop's looking good, maybe then they just let loose of the old crop corn, but that certainly isn't happening today.
Time hasn't passed yet. Which you think is more likely? Because farmers are going to leave it in the bin at this point. So will they leave it in the bin and get a higher price, or will they leave it in the bin and just have to empty it out because the new crop's coming in?
Well, I think most of the corn probably has moved already off the farm. It may be in DP or it may be in storage, but, you know, what's left out there, I think, they're probably going to move it before fall harvest. The last year's crop was of questionable quality, so I don't think anybody wants to store that crop any longer than they have to. So I think that crop will move, and they'll make way for the new crop.
What are your bids for the day?
Old crop corn is $6.68, new corn $4.87. Old beans are $15.75, new beans $12.35, and wheat $6.48.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. They join us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain situation. In just a couple minutes, we'll be back. We'll talk with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois, at the Boeing Building. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, reminding you can always find us online at WILLAG.org.
It's National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1497, Vasco da Gama left Lisbon with four ships to search for a sea route to India. He was the first European to sail there, and he opened the area to Portuguese trade and colonization. In 1810, Gabriel Gustav Valentin was born. This German-Swiss physiologist was the first to discover the digestive activity of pancreatic juice. In 1831, John Pemberton was born. Pemberton was the pharmacist who invented Coca-Cola in 1885. By the way, at first it was a tonic called French Wine Cola. He later modified the formula, taking out the alcohol and adding vegetable essences. Originally, the syrup was meant to cure headaches. In 1881, the ice cream sundae was invented. Edward Berner of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, put chocolate syrup over a dish of ice cream and served it to a patron at his drugstore. Why chocolate syrup? Because flavored soda water was not allowed to be served on the Sabbath. Thus, the new treat, the ice cream sundae, named after the day of the week it was created. And in 1886, it rained snails in Cornwall, England. By the way, July is one of the most prolific months of the year for raining all sorts of living creatures. The top animals likely to fall from the sky? Fish or frogs? And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line. John Davis at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's warmer now, and the crops sure look good, although there's a little heat out west that I suppose some are concerned will make its way into the Midwest. What do you think?
Well, I think as we look at things over the next week or 10 days, for the bulk of the belt, it looks like that we're not going to have any extreme heat, and thus we're not going to have any kind of high stressful situation for the developing crops across the majority of the Midwest. There is an exception to this, however, and that is in areas of Kansas and some parts of Nebraska, where heat over the weekend and continuing much of this week will be enough to be at stressful levels, and you'll likely see some crop stress and even some potential yield declines for some of the crops across that area. So it's really that southwest portion of the Midwest that's having issues here right now. For the remainder of the Midwest, overall favorable conditions here certainly has been the case over the past couple of weeks and will be the case the remainder of this week and on into next week.
What are the daytime and nighttime highs, or daytime highs and then the nighttime lows in those areas that are going to suffer?
Yeah, in those areas of the southwestern Midwest and Nebraska and Kansas, they will have high temperatures ranging from the mid-90s to the lower 100-degree readings. The hundreds will be primarily in areas of Kansas, with nighttime lows basically in the 70s across that region. And those are certainly levels here with some of the corn beginning to pollinate across those regions that will likely cause some hampering of the pollination process.
What do you see for rainfall in the Midwest?
Well, overall here, we will have a relatively active Midwest rainfall pattern in areas of the central and northern sections of the Midwest, with thunderstorms firing up across the northern portion of the region here. So really for the northern areas of the Midwest, for the eastern areas of the Midwest, that would include most of Illinois, overall rainfall should be relatively frequent here as we go through the next 7 or 10 day period.
Like the Corn Belt, which had a late start to the growing season, most of the rest of the planet did, including the Delta region of the United States. How have they been doing the last month or so?
Doing pretty good. They've been a little bit warmer, which has been a needed entity across that region. They've gotten pretty good precip here lately across most of that region as well. And kind of more of the same as on tap across that area as we head toward the middle portion of July.
And please check on the Chinese corn crop for me.
Well, that's one area, the North China Plain specifically, where we have had some heat recently and enough heat for that to be an item of concern, and with another couple of surges of heat here coming in, certainly an issue here to start watching with their corn crop going through pollination in China.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mm-hmm. John Day is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. You can always visit us online and listen again if you'd like at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.